much. God bless you. Luke chapter 1 today, Luke chapter number 1. We've been studying through the New Testament together. We have preached through the book of Matthew. And as I preached through Matthew, I was preaching through the other gospel accounts. In other words, if Mark dealt with what Matthew dealt with, then we preached it all together. So I'm in the process now of doing what I call patchwork through the New Testament. We preached through Matthew. We've preached through Mark. In other words, we've already gone through the passages in Mark that Matthew didn't deal with there. Now we've moved into the book of Luke. We're going to be dealing with passages in Luke that neither Matthew nor Mark dealt with. Now, if I just confused you, that's all right. Don't worry about it, all right? Luke chapter number 1, I'm going to read verse number 67. Today, all day long, specifically, particularly, we're going to be dealing with parents. However, everybody should understand that whatever is brought out in the Word of God, even if it's directly speaking to moms and dads, everybody can get some help from that passage of Scripture. So don't tune me out if you're not a parent. But if you are a parent, specifically, this is for you. All day long today, going to be preaching on fathers this morning, mothers tonight. I know it's not Father's Day or Mother's Day, but this is studying through the book of the Bible, and this is where we've come. Luke chapter 1, verse 67, for time's sake. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice the phrase, his father. His father. Now the his here is John the Baptist. So we are preaching on John the Baptist's parents. First of all, this morning, we're going to preach about his father. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Bless us, I pray, as we embark on this study through the book of Luke. I pray that you'll fill us with your power, fill us with your spirit. Help us to be excited that we have the word of God with us. Help us to be faithful to it, preaching and teaching it, Lord, in a way that brings a smile to your face. Bless us now this day. Forgive our sin. Help us to be clean. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist was a mighty man of God. He was the forerunner of the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. During his life, he was a powerful preacher. He saw the Lord and proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He made much of Jesus Christ in his life. He's one of my heroes in the Bible. We see him later in life saying, Christ must increase and he must decrease. He was put in the prison for taking a stand against Herod's sin of taking another man's wife. It was in this place of prison that his head would be removed from his shoulders for preaching the truth of God's word. This man called John the Baptist was truly a man of God mightily, mightily used for the glory of God. However, many times a man or woman used of God has been influenced by godly parents to help him or her along the way. This was certainly true concerning John the Baptist. Today, this morning, I'm turning our attention to his father. Tonight, we'll be dealing with his mother. His father is a man named Zacharias. And we're going to see that John's father was also a wonderful man of God. And let me pause here and say that it's a wonderful thing when a mom and dad are both right with God who want God's best for their children. As a matter of fact, by the end of the message tonight, we will see just how unified mom and daddy really were. Now, I'm saying this morning that as we do a simple study on this man's life, it's interesting to note tonight, this morning and tonight, you've got to be back tonight to get them all together, about how unified husband and wife, mama and daddy were in this boy's life. By the way, this is the way it should be. God help our husbands and wives, our fathers and mothers, to be unified in the things of Almighty God. Now, as we consider John the Baptist's daddy this morning, let us apply these lessons from his life to our own. Now, get this, fathers particularly need to sit up and take notice. Makes no difference if the fathers listening to me now are new fathers. Makes no difference if the fathers listening to me now have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. If you're a daddy, this is specifically for you and me. However, if you're not a father, get these same thoughts, because these same thoughts apply basically to every person in the building today. Now, this being the case, I want to take the two words, his father, number one. Here we go. Are you with me so far? Here we go. His father, first of all, was righteous before God. We see this in verse number 6. Notice this now. And they, talking about Elizabeth and Zechariah, verse 5, his parents, and they were both righteous before God. Now, this word righteous here means innocent. It means just. It means right, and it means holy. Now, this is no doubt, now get this. This is no doubt the greatest thing that could be said about John's father. That he was innocent, just, right, and holy before God. I mean, the Bible says they were righteous before God. This means that when God looked at them and looked at his daddy, that God says he's innocent. Oh, good night, friends. When God looked at him, he said, hey, he's right with me. He's just in my sight. He is holy in my sight. Can I say this to you? The only way this can be true is if he had been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. No one is righteous before God in themselves. See, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord plainly teaches us in his word that when we were born into this world, we are born sinners at enmity against God. We are born in the seed line of Adam that will end up in spiritual death in a place called hell, the lake of fire, forever and ever. However, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, we who are at enmity with God can become righteous before God only through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And we who were at once at enmity with God, God can now look at us who've been saved, washed by the blood of Christ, and can say, he's just, he's innocent, he's holy, he's righteous. That's the only way it can happen, my friends. There's nothing you can do to make yourself righteous before God. It has already been done through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. I'm telling you, the first thing that really everything hovers around right here is his father was righteous before God. His father was a Christian. His father was a born-again child of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Bar none, the greatest thing said about John's father is he was righteous before God. In the same way, if you are a father today or just an individual, this is too the greatest thing that can ever be said about you. A child having a father who is righteous in the presence of God is what this country needs. God give us more fathers who are children of God and righteous in his sight. So number one, his father was righteous before God. I've got about seven of these. I got to put the pedal to the metal. Number two, his father not only was righteous before God, but number two, these are just quotes here. His father walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. I know that's a long point, but it's right in Scripture there if you're following me. Look at verse number 6. And they were both righteous before God. Here it is. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. You know the second thing we see mentioned about John's father? Is how he walked in all the commandments and all the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. You know what this means? This simply means that he lived his life in obedience to the will of God for his life. Notice how the Bible tells us he walked in all the commandments, all of the ordinances of the Lord. This goes to show that he didn't pick and choose what to obey. This means that he lived a life of simple obedience. He did it to the point that he was blameless. You know what that word blameless there means? It means he was faultless. It means he was unblameable and irreproachable. In other words, there was no doubt about it. There's a man that's going to do what the Bible tells him to do. There was no doubt about it. No doubt about it. What a wonderful testimony of obeying the Lord. By the way, it's interesting that an interesting point about what the Bible brings out about this statement is that this statement is given at the point when he and Elizabeth have no children. They don't have John the Baptist. Not yet. The promise right here has not even been given. And yet before the promise is given, the Bible says that his mom and daddy walked in all the commandments of God. You know what this tells me? See, back in this day, not so much today, but back in this day, it was looked upon as a great reproach back in this day not to have children. It was a great reproach. This goes to show, now get this, that there was a major trial going on in this couple's life. They wanted a child. It's obvious because later on we're going to see he's been praying for one, okay? They want a child. God has not answered that prayer yet. There's a major blotch on them. There's a blight on them. There's a mark on them. They're not on the mountaintop. They're in the valley right here. And yet at this time, they are unreproachably, unblamedly, and unashamedly saying, whatever you want me to do, God, my answer is yes. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to do what God tells you to do as long as life is a bed of roses? Or have you made your mind up that you're going to obey the Bible no matter what life throws at you? This is his daddy. I'm telling you that he's not right here. He's not getting mad at God and questioning God. He's not blaming God. He's just in the middle of his trial. In the middle of his trial, this dear man of God, this father of John the Baptist, his life may not be exactly the way he wants it. I mean, God, according to him, right here, no doubt, maybe he thinks God's not listening to him. He's in a major valley. They want a child, don't have one. They don't want the reproach. Life is going bad. And the whole time, it just says he obeys God's word, everything he told him to do. What a great, great thought. You know, we can all learn a great lesson here, especially daddies. The lesson is to find the commandments of the Lord and obey them regardless of what the current situation you're in. If you're on the mountaintop, obey God. If you're in the valley, still obey God. You listening to me? Troubles do not exempt obedience. Did you hear what I just said? Your troubles do not exempt your and mine obedience to the word of the living God. We're to obey God completely no matter what is going on in our life. Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Number one, his father was righteous before God. Number two, his father walked in all the commandments and all the ordinance of the Lord blameless. Number three, his father, get it, here it is, number three, was faithful to his God-given duty. We see this in verse 8 and following. Read along with me here. It came to pass while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course. According to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. In other words, that was God's will for his life, to burn incense. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side, where? Of the altar of incense. What's he to be doing during this time? Burning incense. Where did the angel appear to him? At the place he was supposed to be. And he's at the altar of incense. Look, and when Zacharias, verse 12, saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. It's brought out in these verses how Zechariah was a priest whose duty was to burn incense. This was his God-given duty. This was God's will for his life. This was the particular place in God's service. Notice how the Bible says there appeared an angel standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Right after this, it says Zacharias saw him. This goes to show that he was in his place doing his priestly duty given to him by God. I don't know everything about this job, but I know that this man was faithful to be found where he was supposed to be, and this is where the angel appeared to him. Now you say, what's the point? Could it be? I can't prove this, but you can't disprove it. Could it be that if he had not been at the altar of incense, that the angel would have still appeared there, but he would have never saw him? He saw him because he was where he was supposed to be. The point here is every person has a God-given duty. I don't care who you are. Don't take that as like I don't care. I'm saying it makes no difference who you are. God has given you and me something to do in this life. There is a God-given duty to every person in this building. It's called God's will. And I'm telling you that we need to find our place in the center of God's will and just be faithful doing what God has given us to do. Let me say here that you and I may not be much, but we can be faithful. Determined to be faithful in the things of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you faithfully doing what God has given you to do? Let me tell you why some people never feel the presence of God, because they're not where God wants them to be. When you are in the place God wants you to be, when you are standing in the place that he says, here's what I have for you, right? Here's my will for your life. Here, here, here. When you get there, things are going to start picking up. You take Elijah's life. When the famine came to his life, and the famine came to all that area, God came to him and said, go to the brook Cherith. And if you go there, you can drink of the brook. And I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That's what God told him. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the ravens already had their orders from headquarters. They had enough meat to take care of him, and they were going to one place and one place only. They would not follow him if he did not go to Cherith. God told the ravens, go to the brook Cherith. And if he wants to find out that he can trust me, let him go where he's supposed to be. And when he did, guess what happened? He drank of the brook. Guess what else happened? The ravens came and brought him bread and flesh. What's that tell you? That tells you God meets his children when they are where they're supposed to be. This father was doing faithfully his God-given duty. He was just obeying God, everything God told him to do. And when God said, I want you to burn incense, he was right at the altar of incense, just faithfully doing his God-given duty. Then let me give you a fourth thing. His father not only was righteous before God, walked in all the commandments and ordinances blameless, was faithful to God-given duty, but number four, his father prayed. We see this in verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. Notice this now. For thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. See, the angel appeared. The angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias and told him, he said, thy prayer is heard. You know what that word heard means? It means thy prayer has been listened to. God has listened to your prayers. Now get this. For God to hear a prayer, somebody has to be praying. Oh, that's deep theology right there, isn't it? For him to hear his prayer, what does that tell you? That tells you he was praying. See, According to the context, Zacharias was asking for a child. Why else would he say, "Thy prayer has been heard, and Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John"? See, this tells me that he was praying for a child. And he was a man. Now get this. When the prayer comes, and we're going to see this in just a moment, but when the answer came, he doubted it. He said, "I'm old." That's what he's going to say. You ever been praying for something and not really expect it to come? Amen, friends. I've been there. You ever been praying for something and the whole time you're saying, "God's not going to do something like this"? God says through his angel, "I've listened to you. I'm going to give you a boy." The fact of the matter here is this. This goes to show that delay is not necessarily denial. Because when he finally does come and say, "You're going to have a boy," he says, "I'm too old." You know what that tells me? I'm not trying to read into the text, but you know what that tells me? It tells me more than likely he's been praying for a while. Didn't come in his time. Now he thinks there's no way it can happen. You know, God has a way of answering prayers when only you can say, "God did that." He has a way of doing that, friends. And he's doing that here. But don't miss the point here. The point here is this. John the Baptist, before he ever breathed God's air, had a daddy who prayed. You know, one of the greatest things, not the greatest is that you're born again, but one of the greatest things outside of that that can be said about a father is that he's a father or a daddy who prays and God listens to him. Let me ask you a question, daddies. Does God hear your prayers? Let me ask you another question. If your child has a need and they really need to get through to God and they have one person that they can tell about it because they trust they can get a prayer through, would they tell their daddy? Would they tell their mother? Would they come to the pastor? Would they go to a friend? I'm telling you, our children need to know. This is counseling, friends. That's really all I'm doing here. They need to know that they have a mom and daddy that God says, "Wait a minute, he's talking to me. Wait a minute, she's asking me for something." I'm going to tell you something. Can I be honest? I'm cut right there. I am cut. I want to be a dad that my boy and my girls know. I'll tell you one thing about daddy. My son, he cracks me up. When I get him on something, he doesn't know how to answer me. You know how I gig him sometimes. He did this to me this morning. He's in the habit. I had him on visitation with me yesterday, and he's in the habit of thinking that the red lights are enemies. "You can make it, Daddy. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can defeat that red light." And I start slowing down. He said, "You could have made it." Well, this morning I said, "Son, let me explain something to you." I said, "There are people just watching the red light like this. They're not watching to see if you're going to run it, you see. They're just watching the red light like this. And when it turns, they're going to go. And if you go and the police comes and it was your fault, you're going to say, 'Well, I was trying to beat that. I was trying to beat that red light. That's what I was trying to do.'" And I got him. He didn't know how to answer it. He said, "My daddy's a weirdie." I've got a weirdie for a daddy. He's a weirdie. Anytime, hey, if he ever says, "You're a weirdie," he's not being disrespectful. He's in his own way saying, "You got me. I don't know how to answer that." You know what I mean? What am I saying to you? I'm saying I want my children to know that they have a daddy. I'm not saying I'm this way. I'm saying this is my desire. I want my children to know that if they ever have a problem and they need somebody to get a prayer through, that they have the confidence that if anybody can get a prayer through, it's my daddy. Do your children know that? Do they believe that? That's convicting, isn't it? I'm telling you, he prayed. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand, be ye sober and watch unto prayer. Now I'm applying this to daddies, but all of us can learn this lesson, friends. Do your prayers get the ear of Almighty God? Does He listen to you? Let me give you a fifth thing. By the way, this is one of those messages, I know you're not going to go home and remember all these. I understand that. But I trust that one of these points will hit you and help you. Let me give you number five. His father responded right to chastisement. His father responded right to God's chastisement. Question, according to Scripture, does God chastise His children? Yes or no? Absolutely. Read Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not going to go there for time's sake. But the Bible says, excuse me now, this is a Bible word. The world has taken it and changed it into a curse word, but it's not a curse word in God's word. He says, if you be without chastisement, you are a bastard and none of His. In other words, God, 100% of the time, spanks His children. He chastises His children. He does not let them get by with things. He chastises. If you're without that, if you can do what you want to do, go where you want to go, and never be chastised, you are not a born-again child of God. God chastises His children. But can I say this to you? John's father is getting ready to have the belt unleashed on him. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. This is the angel talking to him. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In other words, the angel saying, this boy's going to be special. This boy's going to trust Christ. This boy's going to do something for God. I mean, what a mighty answer to prayer. But notice what he does, verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? You listening to me? He's talking to an angel. He's speaking with an angel. An angel, he knows it's an angel. And the angel said, this is going to happen. He says, how do I know that? That's ridiculous. Read on. For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, chastisement. And not able to speak, chastisement. Until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Here Zacharias is. He's in the place of God's will, God's blessing. I mean, Gabriel has come down. Gabriel! Aren't you looking forward to seeing Gabriel? Gabriel is talking to John's daddy. This is Gabriel. And Gabriel says, you are going to have a boy. Not him personally, him and his wife, you understand. And this boy's going to be special. This boy's going to, he's going to turn many to righteousness. See, God knows, you see. And Zechariah says, how do I know this is going to be true? I'm old. Well, stricken in years, and by the way, so's my wife. So Gabriel says, okay, you don't believe me? Take your speech away. He comes out and he can't speak. He cannot speak. Now here's the point. Has God just taken away something special of his? You better believe it. What would you do if you couldn't speak? Some of you are going to start praying, Lord, would you do that to our pastor? Please make him where he can't speak. You know what I mean? Can't shut him up, you know? Hey, speech is a God-given gift. This proves it. If you can speak, it's because God's allowing you to speak. And God says, okay, you don't believe me? I'll chastise you. Do you think it might have been hard on him? By the way, his wife's not even expecting it. This beating, if you will, this spanking, spiritually speaking, is going to take at least 9 months. At least. At least. For 9 months, he's not going to be able to say a word. He comes out and he can't say anything. He just beckons. He can't speak. But here's the point I want you to see. What did the angel tell him to name the boy when he's born? John. What was the children back in this day typically named after? Their father. So if he'd have got angry and upset whenever the boy was born, he'd have said, name him Zacharias. But he can't speak. And Elizabeth comes and says, his name shall be John. Let me show you something interesting. Look at verse 62. And they made signs to his father. In other words, they want him to be named Zacharias. And Elizabeth's come out. She's just obeying God here too. And as his mother, she says his name should be John. So they say, okay, Zacharias, what do you think? What do you say? What does the daddy want here? So verse 62, they made signs to his father saying, how do you want him called? Look at verse 63. And he asked for a writing table. Give me something to write on. Can't you just see him say, he's asking, he can't speak, he's asking for it. And on the writing table, he said, his name is John. You know what he's doing here? He's responding right to chastisement. He's saying, God, you had every right to do that to me because I didn't believe you. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get angry. I'm just going to obey you through it. And he did. You know when some people drop out of church and the FBI can't find them any longer? You know when that happens? When they bring something on themselves and the chastising hand of God comes down and they begin to blame God and curse God and say, I thought God loved me. Why is he letting something like this happen? Now, I'm not saying everything that happens is the chastising hand of God, because everything that happens is not. But can I say this? Typically, a child of God knows when it is, because they know their heart's not right with him. And they know in their heart, he's chastising me. Can I say this to you? The Bible says that whom he loves, he chastens. If he loves you, he's not going to let you get by with things. By the way, parents, great lesson for us and our children. Somebody says, I'm not going to chasten my son. I'm not going to chastise my son. I'm just going to let him do what he wants to do. Yes, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you don't chastise him, you hate him. That's what the Bible says. That's not fair. That's not true. That's what the Creator said. You love your children. You don't let them get by with things. By the way, if somebody beats the daylights out of their children, are you listening to me? They need to be beaten. The chastisement needs to be in proportion to the wrong committed. But it does need to be chastening. It does need to be. Somebody help me out here, friends. It's hard enough to preach this, much less people just sitting there staring at me. You know what I'm saying? The Word of God plainly teaches chastising is the will of God. And right here we learn that this dear man of God responded right. Let me give you a sixth thing. There's two more things and we're done. Number six, his father praised God. We see this in verse 64. Notice what happened. As soon as they gave him the writing table, the writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. Verse 64, and his mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Oh, what a day that must have been. See, once Zacharias obeyed by naming the child John, the Bible says his mouth was opened immediately. His tongue was loosed. He praised God. You know what this word praised means? It means he spoke well of God. It means he blessed God. It means he thanked God. Here this dear man of God is. He's undergone a time of doubt, but he's responded well to it by obeying the Lord. And as soon as he obeys God with the birth of his son, his name is John, God says, okay, I'll give it back to you. But now, what he used to doubt God, he's now using to thank and praise God. You see what I'm saying? We need to see here that his silence of unbelief has been changed for a song of praise. In the same way, let all of us, fathers especially, but everybody, but especially fathers, see the goodness of God in our lives and break out into heartfelt praise to our great God. You know, he's been good to us, friends. He's blessed our lives. He always has, always is, and always will be good. Praise his holy name. Psalm 150, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Luke 19:37, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. His father, we're just noticing his father here today. What about his father? Well, his father was righteous before God. He was a born-again child of God. His father walked in all the commandments and all the ordinances of the Lord blameless. His father, number three, was faithful to his God-given duty. He was where he was supposed to be, when he was supposed to be there. His father, number four, prayed and God listened to him. His father, number five, responded right to God's chastisement upon his life. Number six, his father praised God, but we close with this. His father, number seven, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, we see that in verses 67 through 79. The Bible says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Can I say this? That's the language of a Holy Spirit-filled believer, friends. I mean, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he began praising God for his salvation, and that now those who sit in darkness, great light is going to shine unto them, and his own boy is going to be the prophet of the Messiah himself. You say, what's the point here? The point, isn't it obvious? That John the Baptist had a Spirit-filled daddy. And may God give us Spirit-filled fathers. You know what we need? We need daddies who say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me anymore. I don't care what anybody thinks about coming to the altar. I don't care what anybody thinks about this. I want to be a daddy who is full of the Holy Ghost of God. Do you want it, daddy? Do you want it? Oh my, how my heart cries. God, take every ounce of my being. Fill me to the brim and may it overflow onto the saucer. How many times I've prayed, Lord, empty me of myself. Lord, wipe me clean of myself and fill me and overflow me with the Holy Spirit of God. God, help us. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your praise and your speech will not be centered on another human being. Your praise and your speech will be centered on God, His Savior, His Son, and salvation that's available to those who sit in darkness. In this message, we've simply put John the Baptist's father on display. Tonight, we're going to put his mother on display. There are several thoughts that were the same as his mother Elizabeth. We'll see that tonight. And this just goes to show that husbands and wives, along with fathers and mothers, are to be one in the Lord. This home, John the Baptist, his home, was unified in the things of God. John the Baptist was blessed by God to have parents like he had. And I encourage you, if you're a parent, especially a father, take this simple outline. We'll give it to you. Just tell me you want it. I'll give it to you. Take this simple outline and make it a prayer list. If you're not righteous before Him, why don't you become that way today? Why don't you begin to walk blameless in all His commands and ordinances? Why don't you determine to say, whatever God wants me to go, wherever He wants me to go, wherever He wants me to be, when He tells me what that is, I'm going to do my God-given duty. I'm going to be in my place when I need to be there. Why don't you pray, Father, God, help me be a praying dad. Help me be a dad that the God of the universe will bend down and listen to what I have to say. God, help me be a dad that when I go wrong and You began to take the spiritual belt out and began to spank me, help me to respond right. Help me not to get mad or get bitter. Help me to simply see my loving Heavenly Father how much You do love me. That You love me too much to let me get by with it. God, help me as a daddy to be a father that realizes that speech is a gift from You. Help me not to use it to doubt You, but help me to use it like Zacharias did after he got right with You. Help me to praise You with my lips. And God, as a father, help me realize I can't do this myself. Help me as a father get on my face and beg You to fill me up with the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, I feel the presence of God. And I feel the sweet Holy Spirit just whispering to me, Jody, if they'll just get it. If there's a daddy here, just one, who says, Lord, make me like Zacharias, and mean it, there's no telling what would happen. So fathers, specifically, everybody in general, but fathers specifically, how about it? Will you rise and will you say, God, make me like that. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You and thank You for this day. I pray, Lord, that You'll help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, especially we who are fathers, but everybody in general to learn these principles. Fill us with Your Spirit and power. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Some men have already responded. And even as I speak, you can come. But let me deal specifically with some things. Are you righteous before God? Let me just walk right straight down. Are you righteous before God? When God looks at you, does He see somebody who's innocent? Hey, the only reason that can happen is because if you've trusted Christ, He's given you His clear record. He's innocent, and you can only be innocent if you've trusted Him as your Savior, you see. There may be a dad here, a mom here, a teenager here, a young person here, an older person here says, Jody, I don't know if I'm righteous before God or not. Hey, don't live that way. Don't live that way. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Hey, we love you. We're not trying to hurt you. We want God's best for you. May the Lord help you. These men who are here, I would like to ask you to stay at the altar just a moment while I deal with folks. I'll dismiss you to go back in just a moment. If you're not sure you're saved, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight, this morning, God's speaking to you about walking blamelessly in all of His commands, all of His ordinances. All of His ordinances, all of His commands. Maybe God's dealing with you about just being in your place when you need to be there. Just doing your God-given duty. Or maybe He's talking to you about your prayer life. Boy, He's speaking to me about mine. Does He really hear you? Does He really listen to you? Maybe He's talking to you about responding right to chastisement. Some of you may be under chastisement today. See the loving hand of God in that. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. Respond right. Respond right. Maybe today God's speaking to you about praising Him. Hey, maybe you've been using the gift of speech to do other things with. God's saying, you know, I gave you that gift not to doubt or fear. I gave you that gift to praise Me. Maybe God's speaking to you about just being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, I'd like to see men come to the altar. There's several here, and there's several more that need to be here. We're going to stand in just a moment. Not yet, in just a moment. I'm going to pray, and if God is dealing with you about your salvation, about being filled with the power of God, whatever it is, men, lead your family. Bring your family to the altar. Beg God to help you. If there's ladies here, say, I know this was preached to fathers, but God's speaking to me about an area in my life. Come. Do business with God when God does business with you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. Some have already responded. If you need to come, you come now. Would you do that? Men, especially others as well. Come now, would you please?
As he have says, thine own way.
I need to be saved. I need to make sure I'm righteous. Come on. Let us take a Bible and share with
thou
the gospel.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
I wrote, well, I actually typed in my notes, is that if you have a daddy that this sounds like him, that sounds like my dad, you ought to praise God. You ought to thank God. My dad's here today. I don't mean to embarrass him. He reads the Bible more than anybody I know living. And I know in his heart he wants to do what's right. I praise God for that. Hey, that sure beats a daddy who doesn't want to do what's right, you know what I mean? And I give him honor today. I give my mom honor today about the mom and dad they've been to me. Now I want to be the daddy to my children. God has blessed me to be. there may be people here today, I'm just giving some folks a little time, but there may be people here today, you don't have children yet, but you're praying for them. You know what you need to do? Do these things now. If you'll notice, the majority of these thoughts here was before John the Baptist was ever born. He was doing it before the boy was ever here. And he just continued on. Hey, John the Baptist, a great man. Amen, friends. Was he not a wonderful man of God? My, what a mom and daddy he had. You see what I'm saying? Let this speak to our hearts, okay? Brother Larry Stover, sir, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please.